Welcome, colleagues, and thank you for joining this Sparks podcast. We've curated case studies from a range of different Scottish tertiary institutions to share practice and ideas with you about how you can use two key Sparks resources. So the first of those is the Student Learning Experience Model, and the second is Scotland's Ambitions for Student Partnership, which is the focus of today's conversation. So it's therefore my great pleasure to be joined by Pamela Calabrese from Edinburgh Napier University. And can I pass over to you, Pamela, to introduce yourself further, please?
Yes, you certainly can. Delighted to be here. Thanks for having me, Katrina. So I am Head of Student Engagement at Edinburgh Napier. I'm based in our Department of Learning and Teaching Enhancement, DLTE for short, and I have a strategic leadership role for student partnership at the university, work very closely with our Students Association, ENSA. I also lead on personal development tutoring and academic skills at Edinburgh Napier. So those are my other kind of areas of interest.
Fantastic. Thank you very much. And I should introduce myself as well. So my name is Katrina Bell, and I'm working with Sparks on a particular project around staff development and the use of the two models that we've just mentioned. So fantastic. I'm looking forward to our conversation this morning, Pamela. And I was going to ask if you could maybe just start us off with a 1 minute overview of how you've used the partnership ambitions.
Yes, no problem. So the introduction section to the partnership ambition, the context and uses part, provides two examples of how the partnership ambition might be used. So a high level evaluation of partnership activities and taking a specific feature and or a group of indicators and exploring those in detail against institutional practice. The other point to note is the statement in the document that Sparks intends to work with the sector to explore how the ambition interacts with student partnership agreements, SPAs. Now, when the resource was published, we at Edinburgh Napier and with our Students Association ENSA, we were in the midst of developing our new SPA, and we'd made quite a lot of progress actually in growing our institutional partnership culture. So I proposed conducting this high-level mapping exercise, and that was to help us identify where we needed to focus our efforts, looking at our activities across the features and the indicators and identifying that positive practice and areas for development. And the intention was that this would provide the evidence to underpin our SPA activities.
Wonderful. So really interesting starting point there, linking really closely with your SPA development. So we're going to dive into that in a little bit more detail over the next few minutes. But I wanted to maybe go back a step, if you don't mind, and just ask, what were your initial reflections when you first engaged with the partnership ambition?
Okay, so I think it's fair to say I was a little sceptical about the usefulness of the resource. So while myself and colleagues in our Students Association really appreciated, and indeed the university really appreciated that enhancement focus of the partnership ambition. And I think that the sense of the impetus that this would give to us and to the sector to strive to do better, it came in at a time of, you know, significant change, as colleagues who are listening will know, in relation to the quality enhancement in the sector. External review guidance hadn't yet been published, so the review method wasn't clear. And I think, among other things, at the time, I particularly remember discussion about the lead student role.
Okay.
And the sense that that might require an unrealistic commitment of time and effort from sabbaticals. We're sort of grappling with that notion. I think the other thing that struck me was that this represented the potential for another required mapping exercise, which brought to mind for me mapping to the UK Quality Code, which for everyone who's done that, they'll recognise the huge undertaking that that is. So I would say there was a tension there between ambition and pragmatism.
Grand. Well, no, thanks for your honest reflections there, and I'm sure other colleagues may well resonate that. But moving onwards, what helped you see the potential within the partnership ambition?
So in a nutshell, it was getting started with it. And the catalyst for us is, as I've touched on, the student partnership agreement, and we were at a bit of an impasse with that. So it had started to feel less of a forward-looking document and more retrospective. So it was useful from the perspective of supporting a reflection and reporting on partnership activities at the end of the year. But I was feeling it was starting to get a little less useful in terms of prioritization. So when I engaged with the partnership ambition and saw the features and indicators within that, I really recognized it as a tool to help us assess partnership and support that strategic planning that I maybe felt was lacking a wee bit. And I think the other thing is that when I was looking at the indicators, they felt right. Okay. So it really felt that those would help identify work happening under each feature, what had been working well and where we could push ourselves to do more.